Real Issues, Complaints and Enforcement. Introduction. Learning Objectives. Bullet, understand the steps of the complaint investigation. Bullet, recall why TREC complaints cannot be anonymous. Bullet, identify the top TREC complaint categories. Bullet, know the expectations of reporting criminal history. Who enforces the rules? TREC's Enforcement Division, that's who. The Enforcement Division of the Texas Real Estate Commission protects consumers by enforcing the laws and rules that regulate license holders. The Enforcement Division administers the Complaint Investigation Program, Disciplinary Enforcement Program, and the Background Check Process for applicants and license holders. The Enforcement Division is comprised of attorneys, legal assistants, investigators, and other administrative staff. In 2025, there were 5,974 cases opened by enforcement and an increase of 15% in complaints filed against brokers and sales agents compared to 2024. Approximately 27% of cases opened against sales agents and brokers resulted in either formal or informal discipline. The complaint process. 1. Filing a complaint. Filing a complaint with TREC is the first step in the enforcement process. Anyone can file a complaint against a license holder, even other license holders. Complaints must be submitted in writing and signed by the complainant. 2. Response and investigations. A complainant should hear back from the Enforcement Division within 30 days about whether it will proceed with opening and investigating the allegations in the complaint. If an investigation is opened, each person against whom the complaint is filed receives a copy of the complaint. Certain associated license holders, like a sponsoring broker, if not already part of the complaint, will also receive notice. Every individual subject to a complaint is required to cooperate with the investigation. 3. Inquiries and information gathering. Any inquiry from TREC requires a response within 14 days. Failure to cooperate with the investigation will result in disciplinary action against the license holder. A sponsoring broker should be prepared to talk about how they supervise their sponsored sales agent, including providing policies and procedures that address the issues that are alleged in the complaint. 4. Attorney review. Following the investigation, the information collected during the investigation will be turned over to an attorney for review. If the attorney determines that a violation occurred and there is sufficient evidence to support the violation, discipline will be pursued. 5. Disciplinary action and advisory letters. Disciplinary action can include formal reprimand, suspension, or revocation of a license, including payment of an administrative penalty. Additionally, depending on the severity of the violation, an advisory letter might be issued. An advisory letter is a form of informal discipline that will remain a part of the license holder's disciplinary record. A license holder's past complaint and disciplinary history is taken into consideration and can be used against the license holder in any future complaints. Why can't TREC complaints be anonymous? Chapter 11, 01 of the Texas Occupations Code prohibits the agency from investigating anonymous complaints. The reason behind this prohibition is that complaint respondents, those who have a complaint filed against them, are entitled to due process when it comes to formal disciplinary action taken by the government, TREC, against their license. Complaints filed with TREC can have implications for an individual's license, which is required to conduct brokerage activities in Texas. For most license holders, this means their business and their livelihood. To ensure each complaint respondent receives due process before any formal discipline is taken against their license, TREC must adhere to certain processes and comply with all applicable laws related to a respondent's opportunity to respond to the allegations against them and have a formal hearing should they so choose. Administrative hearings. The Enforcement Division must treat each complaint as though it might reach the State Office of Administrative Hearings, or SOA. This is the Administrative Law Court that hears cases from state agencies like TREC, and where respondents have their opportunity to defend themselves. Not all complaints make it to SOA. Many are closed with an agreed order. In an agreed order, a respondent neither admits nor denies wrongdoing and agrees to comply with TREC's terms, such as paying an administrative fine, taking additional education courses, or even having their license suspended or revoked. However, all respondents have the right to defend themselves against a complaint and choose to have a hearing before SOA. This right to a hearing exists for all types of complaints, ranging from technical infractions, such as advertising issues, to more serious allegations like fraud or misrepresentation. In a SOA hearing, TREC staff attorneys lay out the Commission's case against a licence holder to an administrative law judge. The respondent also has a chance to go before the administrative law judge and provide evidence in their defence. Typically, the administrative law judge will issue a PFD, or a proposal for decision, summarising the findings of fact and conclusions of law from the hearing. PFDs are presented to the 9 commissioners during TREC meetings. This is yet another opportunity for a respondent to speak in their defence, and for the TREC Enforcement Division staff attorneys to explain evidence and the investigation. Due process. Ultimately, the commissioners vote on whether to accept the PFD as written, make modifications, or reject it. The commissioners must remain neutral and cannot consider factors outside of the record. This is why respondents are prohibited from contacting commissioners when there is an open complaint, as that may result in commissioners recusing themselves in the event of a hearing. Importantly, this prohibition goes both ways, and Enforcement Division staff are prohibited from discussing an open complaint with commissioners. Think about the process this way. When you get a speeding ticket, you have a right to a hearing. The reason that you might potentially go to court to contest your speeding ticket is to prove that you deserve to keep your license, avoid a fee, or otherwise protect your ability to drive. A complaint filed with the TREC works similarly and is taken seriously by staff, not only to protect the consumer, but also to ensure each respondent in a case receives due process. Criminal histories and complaints. Criminal disclosure, Q&A. TREC's consumer protection responsibilities include reviewing all criminal history for each person applying for a new license. Additionally, TREC enforcement staff review the criminal history of all current license holders, even those whose licenses are set to inactive. This review is done to ensure license holders maintain the requisite honesty, trustworthiness, and integrity required by law. Having a criminal conviction does not automatically mean you lose your license. However, failure to disclose certain criminal convictions is a violation of Chapter 1101. TREC enforcement staff will pursue such a violation, so it is important that license holders understand when they need to disclose information to the Commission. The following questions and answers should provide clarification if you find yourself in this situation. Select each question to learn more about license holders who commit criminal offences. I was just arrested. Now what? If you have just been arrested, charged, or indicted for an offence, there is no requirement to disclose at this time. If you disclose the arrest, charge, or indictment before the criminal matter is final, this will not satisfy your disclosure requirement according to TREELAY. You will need to disclose this criminal information once it becomes final, as detailed in what follows. TREC does not have authority to proceed with opening an investigation into the criminal offence until that matter is concluded by the criminal court. The criminal proceedings could take months or years to complete. The criminal case is final. What now? Section 1101.652, A1 of TREE LA, gives the Commission authority to suspend or revoke a license holder who has entered a plea of guilty or nolo, contend air or has been convicted of a felony or any criminal offence that involves fraud, including misdemeanours. Additionally, under Section 1101.652A7, license holders are required to notify the Commission not later than the 30th day after the final conviction or the entry of the plea of guilty or nolo contendere. Notifying the Commission timely is key to avoid further disciplinary action. Criminal backgrounds are checked as part of the renewal process. This does not excuse a license holder from notifying the Commission in a timely manner. If you are placed on community supervision or receive a deferred adjudication for the felony or criminal offence involving fraud, you are still obligated to notify the Commission within 30 days. If a license holder commits a felony or a criminal offence involving fraud, their license could be subject to suspension or revocation. Depending on the offence, the Commission may probate the suspension or revocation. What if I get my criminal offence expunged? Your criminal record might still show up on our background check. The Enforcement Division staff may ask for the expunction order to confirm. What happens if I go to prison for my offence? The Commission is required by law to revoke the license of a person who goes to prison for a felony offence that is directly related to the license. The revocation is non-discretionary and retroactive to the date the person went to prison. The person is not entitled to a hearing for these matters. Top TREC complaints. The TREC Enforcement Division compiles data monthly regarding complaints received. The list below shows the top five complaint categories as of publication. Complaints do not always result in disciplinary action. Here is a brief explanation of each category. Note, these categories are not in any particular order. Sales other, unrelated to leasing and property management, includes negligence, rebates, referrals, earnest money issues, and so forth. Breach of fiduciary duty includes false promises and other fiduciary issues like the topics covered earlier in this course. Licensure issues consists of criminal background checks that uncover criminal offences, denials based on criminal history, licences issued on a probationary status, and so forth. Broker supervision complaints under this category deal with alleged violations of TREC, Rule 5, 35.2 or other activities related to broker oversight, such as some of the requirements outlined in this course. Leasing and property management involves issues such as negligence, referrals, misappropriation of money, and so forth. Common enforcement violations. Select to see common enforcement violations that license holders encounter. Bullet of failure to cooperate with an investigation. Bullet negligence or incompetence issues. Bullet bad faith or misrepresentation. Bullet inactive or expired license. Holder activity. Bullet unlicensed business entities. Bullet trust fund issues. Property management. Bullet failure to disclose criminal offences. Bullet broker responsibility issues. From the case files, you do the crime, you notify the Commission. The situation. It is a violation of the Texas Occupations Code to not notify TREC on or before the 30th day after a conviction or plea of guilty or nolo, contend air to a felony or crime of fraud. That's what happened here. Bullet. A sales agent pled guilty to a third-degree felony offence. He was placed on community supervision for 10 years. Bullet, over a month later during license renewal, The agent answered yes to the question of whether he entered a guilty plea to a felony that had not been reported to Trek. Despite being truthful in the renewal process, he still missed a deadline. He did not notify the commission of his guilty plea within the 30-day timeline of it happening. The penalties. As a result of the sales agent's actions, the following penalties were levied. 1. A probated suspension for 10 years, or until the end of his community supervision, whichever is first. 2. The agent was ordered to pay a $750 fine. From the case files, false advertising. The situation. The broker in this case is a two-timer. Not romantically speaking, she's had a run-in with Trek Enforcement twice over publishing misleading advertisements. First incident. The first time involved using photos of a model home instead of the actual property in a listing. Second incident. For the second time, this case, she published 4 online listings with inaccurate square footage. How did the broker publish inaccurate info? She used information provided by a builder's plan, a previous listing, an assessor or an appraisal report, but did not verify it with the county appraisal district. Under the occupations code, this is an act of negligence or incompetence and is likely to deceive the public. The penalties. As a result of the broker's actions, the following penalties were levied against her. 1. The broker had her license reprimanded. 2. The broker was fined $1,000. 3. The broker was ordered to take 30 hours of real estate marketing courses. From the case files, when licensed, you're not just the buyer. Here's everything. We'll jump straight to what went wrong. The sales agent here failed to disclose that he owned more than 10% of a business entity that was a party to a contract. Through his company, he executed the contract to make a purchase. This is a violation of Trek rules. License holders are required to disclose when acting on their own behalf, on behalf of a business entity in which the licensee is more than a 10% owner, or on behalf of a spouse, parent, or child in any contract, of sale or rental agreement, or any other writing given prior to entering any contract. The agent was ordered to pay $1,000. From the case. Files, a lot divided. The situation. They bought half of the pie they thought they were getting. A sales agent showed her clients a property that had previously been divided into two. There just wasn't any fencing to make the split obvious. One side had a home and pool. The other side was undeveloped with only trees. The two together made what seemed like the perfect purchase for the clients who explicitly mentioned to the agent that the number one thing they were looking for was a yard with mature trees. The agent informed the listing broker that her clients would make an offer. The listing broker later sent over a copy of the survey, showing the property was actually two separate lots. The agent did not forward this information to her clients, and prior to closing, the buyers received a new survey but failed to recognize the property was half the size they thought they would get. The agent now understands she must convey all information to the clients that could impact their decision on whether to proceed with a transaction. The penalties. As a result of the sales agent's actions, the following penalties were levied. 1. The agent was ordered to pay a $500 penalty. 2. The agent was ordered to take a 30-hour law of agency course. From the case files, a signature is worth thousands. The situation. Disregarding the following cost. 1 sales agent, $3,000. License holders may not sign a real estate document for another individual without authorization and must provide all proposed amendments to the other party. The agent was executing a contract on behalf of the buyer. A few days before the closing date, the lender informs the agent that the buyer paid earnest money from someone else's bank account and that the money needed to be retracted as soon as possible to correct this. What went wrong? That same day, the agent drafted an amendment to retract earnest money. He electronically signed this for the sellers, without their knowledge and without providing a copy to the listing agent. One day before closing, the agent drafted an amendment to extend the closing date. He electronically signed it for the sellers again and did not provide a copy to the listing agent. The reason? After the sellers were made aware of the changes upon receiving a copy of the first amendment from the lender, the agent said via text message to the listing agent he signed, because it was just an extension to the closing date, and that he would never do that if it was concerning anything money related, etc. The penalties. As a result of the sales agent's actions, the following penalties were levied. 1. The sales agent was ordered to pay a $3,000 fine. 2. The agent was ordered to complete a 30-hour law of agency course. From the case files under pressure. Remember this? License holders are required to get approval before authorizing a hydrostatic test on someone's property. And there's a form for that. License holders can use the addendum for authorizing hydrostatic testing that's promulgated by TREC. The situation. Now let's get into the case. As you can probably guess, a sales agent, without receiving approval from the property owner, had a hydrostatic test done on the property. Why? He said the tight timeline for the option period causes difficulty in stopping the inspection, having to ask for an extension of contract, and to re-request another site visit by the plumber. This means the property owner was unable to consult with a licensed plumber about the scope and risks associated with this kind of testing before it was conducted. The property owner also was not given the opportunity to refuse the testing before it happened. TREC concluded, this demonstrates a failure to properly supervise a sponsored sales agent. The penalties. As a result of the sales agent and broker's actions, the following penalties were levied. 1. The broker was penalized with a $750 fine. 2. The sales agent was also fined $750. 3. The sales agent was ordered to take 30 hours of a law of contracts course.